All right. Welcome to Shabbat Lounge. We appreciate you listening and joining us today. This is Matt, joined in studio with
Jake.
And we appreciate you coming along for the ride with us today. And as always, we appreciate any comments, likes, subscribes. We appreciate all of those who have gone in and done those things and given us 5-star reviews in iTunes, but we're in other places like Podbean and Spotify and YouTube, and we have a website called Shabbat Lounge. You can find us all over the place, and a Twitter account and a Facebook account.
All over the socials and the interwebs.
And just new, a TikTok.
Ooh.
So I'm venturing into that. So, but anyway, we appreciate you stopping by.
And stay tuned for more.
Well, welcome to another edition of Can We Be Honest? We keep hearing conservatives talk about how media is dead whenever they make a huge flub. But can we be honest? They are not and will not be. They continue to lie to people and will continue to listen to what these vile people have to say and take it as gospel.
So there's kind of a theme there, if you haven't noticed, about not taking people's word for it, but doing your own homework.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea behind this one was the media is not going away. The people that are countering truth, and they'll always be around. And so I think to say that the media is dead, no. They'll be around. So that's all that one is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
This one's might be a little more complicated to grasp. The fault being my own lack of verbal skills, maybe.
Okay.
But
well, explain to me. Here's what you have written down.
Okay.
Please stop killing undocumented infants who are just trying to cross the border of the birth canal. That's what caught my mind. In fact, I'm like, could you put that on a t-shirt? I don't know. So explain that to me.
Okay.
That caught my eye.
So this was a headline from Daily Wire, a guy named Matt Walsh put together, and it was this idea that he's taking the left argument of you should just let undocumented immigrants just flow across the border, open borders, and he's taking that argument and saying, well, why don't you apply that same standard to the idea of abortion? And Matt Walsh talks out on life issues a lot, and he's a good proponent of life and stuff. So, but these arguments that we hear these guys make a lot of times tend to open themselves up to hypocrisy,
right?
Kind of criticism.
When you put the logic behind it, then yes, and you apply it in different situations, it becomes a little more complicated, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's not as clean and clear-cut as maybe they want it to be.
Right. It's the idea of accepting the premise once you've accepted the premise of the opposite side of the debate, you've lost the debate.
Hmm.
You don't – when your premise is wrong, you have to call it out. And, yes, I see where he's going with this. And he's saying, if you're going to use this as a standard, then apply it across the board, which is right. But you see a lot of times they'll take it. It just kind of shows. It almost makes it look like your argument is hypocritical because you're not for it over here when it's illegal immigration, but you're for it over here when it's abortion.
It's definitely paradoxical. It's a paradox, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's some better ideas that you could use, better examples to show this kind of thing. But when I put this together, I couldn't really think of one, you know. So So this is what you got stuck with. This example.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like it. So, and can we be honest? The Republicans are culpable. Did I say that right?
Culpable, yeah.
Yes, culpable. For the abortion bills that allow abortion up to the moment of birth, even after the baby has left the womb. They promised to defund Planned Parenthood in order to get elected. They know the goals of the Democrats to legalize abortion, and yet they do nothing. I don't really hear a lot of talk about abortion, you know, from the Republicans about this. And yes, I agree. You know, there are so many things, you know, that fit in this category. But yes, if they really wanted to stop these things, you know, put your money where your mouth is. But they know that if they solve all the problems, then they don't have anything to run on, you know. And this is a real easy thing that you can run on year after year. You can keep telling people, we're going to do more in 94, you know. And that was a long time ago. And we've been having this discussion, and yet there's still lots of abortions.
Okay, and it kind of goes into the next one as well. Where there's this, you need to look ahead, right? I think the lawmakers used to do that. They would look ahead and try to like stop this slippery slope kind of situation where now, instead of like the abortion argument, it's been hijacked to now we're talking about, well, third trimester abortions, right? So now they've moved the conversation from when does life begin to will you accept third trimester abortions? So, well, up to the moment of the birth abortions. And whereas back when we agreed on like first trimester abortion limits, okay, put a limit then and say, okay, well, no third trimester abortions. When everyone's agreeing on stuff, that's when you put in the roadblocks. And I think Texas does a good job of that. They're seeing the state turn a little more blue, and they're trying to get in and put these roadblocks. Oh, no, now you need two-thirds of a majority to change tax law and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But where is that kind of forward thinking in legislating important issues? Like this. So
that's
kind of the next one.
Yeah. Well, and can we be honest? You know, there are so many people that push a 70 to 90% tax rate. You know, how do they even have a platform? How do they find anybody to even listen to them? It's like, do they not understand somebody pays for this? And, I mean, obviously, you know, and that it's going to be them, the very people that are saying they should have this high tax rate. They are going to have to help pay that high tax rate.
Yeah.
I don't even understand.
Yeah, I don't understand how that's it's a non-starter, I would imagine. Who's for?
Yeah.
Take 90% of my money, please.
Yes, I don't know anybody that is. Now, there's a lot of people for take, if I'm saying, should we take more of Jake's money?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's easy.
Yeah.
Take his money. Not a problem.
Yeah, 90% of Jake's money.
Yeah.
Is. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Goes a long ways.
Some might think that.
Yes.
And then, let's see. Oh, this one's kind of, I kind of ask a question in this one, and then I kind of have an answer that you may or may not find satisfactory. So, again, in the comments, if you find it unsatisfactory, give us a more satisfactory answer if you could. So, basically, in observing things, we see that the enemy, Satan, is kind of, he's sticking his finger in Yahweh's eye by leading people astray. And what I mean by that is that, so Yahweh lays out these promises and stipulations and tests for us to, you know, do you love me? Keep the commands, right? And things like that. He's the Deuteronomy 13 test, because I'm testing you to see if you will follow me, if you fear me. And yet it talks a lot about how we're not held accountable in ignorance, right? Paul says, before the law, I had no sin, right? Because right. if you don't know that you're transgressing, then you're not. How can you be held accountable to that? That's not a fair and just Elohim that would punish you for something you didn't know you were gonna do, right? No father would mm-hmm. do that, and the text says as much. So, so if you're not held accountable in your ignorance, and yet Satan tries to make you ignorant of things, how does that help him? Was kind of my question. And it's, I kind of came to this idea that maybe it's just that he's sticking his finger in Yahweh's eye and he's trying to muddy up Yahweh's people as kind of a, I'm not going to win, but at least I got something, you know, I can at least, I've smeared you in the process of going down. Mm-hmm. So in addition to that though, and that was kind of the question, was why is that Satan's play if it really in the long run doesn't have a lasting effect? And do you have thoughts on that?
No, I don't.
Okay, what?
But other than, you know, Satan does like to, you know, he's the author of confusion, and you know that he does want to keep us confused and like you said, muddy the water. You know, there's a yeah. lot of benefit to him to have us confused on those things.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I think probably describes it pretty well is that his interest isn't, especially for the quote unquote elect, right? If it were possible for them to be deceived, any kind of ignorance to what Yahweh's will is, it creates a separation between us and Yahweh. And he just has to separate you enough and then separate you enough again. You know, it's incremental, like the frog in the boiling water, right? Mm-hmm. It's this progressivism to pull you away from Yahweh, because if he did it all at once, you'd be on to him. So it's these minor things like, oh, I didn't even realize that was a something I shouldn't be doing, or something like that. Though you wouldn't have been held accountable to it, it's something that creates separation between you and Yahweh. And that's his goal, is to create that separation.
For sure. Yep. That's right.
There
and
I said
he's very, very good at it.
And if you have any of your own can we be honest type observations, put them in the comments, let us know somehow. And if we deem it worthy, then your voice will shine through the interwebs as our voice, and perhaps we'll include it.
Yes, awesome. Well, as always, we appreciate you taking time to stop by and listen. And as always, we thank you for listening to Shabbat Lounge, and ask you to leave a comment, like, share, subscribe, and we will see you later. Thank you.
Bye.